Big Oil Check-In, exploring the end of the age of oil.
According to a new CBS New York Times poll, 79% of Americans say they are optimistic about the next 4 years with Obama as president, even with the current economic troubles. For one small industry, however, Obama's inauguration spells the end. I'm talking about the paraphernalia adorned with a much-anticipated date 01-20-2009, George Bush's last day in office. There are T-shirts, clocks counting down the seconds until noon Eastern time that day, and so on. An article in Sunday's paper said that one retailer was discounting the merchandise 75% in the last week of Bush's term. A picture accompanying the article showed a T-shirt saying, "Gas was $1.36 a gallon when Bush took office." I assume that the implication is that it's higher now, one, that it's a bad thing, two, and three, that it's Bush's fault. I don't think that holds a lot of water. First of all, let's try to figure out what the T-shirt sloganeer was upset about. I don't think the T-shirt was printed yesterday, when the price of gas was about $1.75 here in central Vermont. Going from $1.36 to $1.75 a gallon in 8 years, that's a modest 3.2% annual rate of inflation. The T-shirt may have been printed in 2005, when gasoline topped $3 a gallon for the first time, or last summer, when the price went over $5 a gallon in some places in this country. $1.36 to $5? Now that was a big jump in actually less than 8 years. But really, you can't measure the success of a presidency by how low the price of gasoline is. If you could, you'd have to argue both that the president, or at least U.S. policy as a whole, can keep gas prices low, and that low-priced gasoline is good. I don't think either argument is tenable. Let's look first at how much power U.S. policy has to put a ceiling on gas prices. There is some power. We can see it in the Bush presidency, and the way it has done the reverse. It's actually pressed prices upwards often. For example, George W. Bush ignored repeated warnings of the menace that Al-Qaeda posed to the United States. In the summer of 2001, George Tenet and others in the intelligence community were running around Washington with their hair on fire. That's their phrase, not mine. And the CIA even devoted their presidential daily briefing a month before September 11th to explaining how bin Laden was determined to strike in the U.S. Bush told the CIA officer, "Okay, now you've covered your, well, rear end," and continued on his vacation at his ranch in Texas. By neglecting warnings of the worst ever mass murders on U.S. soil, Bush gave Al-Qaeda a free hand to carry out the September 11th attacks. Now, in the light of everything else that happened that day, and subsequently, it may seem kind of trivial to say this, but the attacks not only led to thousands of lost lives, they led to higher energy prices. At that point, we had been hearing for 20 years how brittle our energy infrastructure is, how vulnerable it is to terrorist attacks. If terrorists could hijack 4 airplanes at once and attack the Pentagon and destroy the World Trade Towers, people reasoned that they could attack key oil pipelines and refineries at any time. For years, people referred to the terror risk premium on the price of oil after September 11th. Bush further raised the price of oil by invading Iraq in 2003. Iraq produced 2.5 million barrels of oil per day immediately before the invasion. War brought production to a standstill. It took a year for production to approach former levels, and most of the time after that, it has been at least 500,000 barrels per day below where it used to be. Since world oil production leveled off in 2005, while demand continued to climb, a 500,000 barrel per day deficit was significant. Finally, the U.S. policy towards Iran has no doubt affected oil prices. Bush administration saber-rattling and revelations that the U.S. was fighting a covert war against Iran put the world on notice that another significant oil producer could find its oil production disrupted by war, or it could retaliate against an attack by blocking oil shipments through the Strait of Hormuz. Conversely, we recently learned that Israel was prepared to bomb Iran last summer, and Bush refused to provide them with the bunker-busting bombs they needed, or permission to fly over Iraqi airspace, which was controlled by U.S. aircraft. That time, he helped avoid a further price increase. This is a complicated subject, and I'm just warming up, so I'll finish next week. The point I'll finish making, then, is that I won't judge the success or failure of George Bush's presidency by what oil or gas prices are this week compared to 8 years ago. And I won't judge Barack Obama's presidency by how much oil or gas costs when he leaves office. I'm Carl Ettenayer, and that's this week's Peak Oil Check-In.
Peak Oil Check-In was produced by Relocalizing Vermont Productions in association with WGDR Plainfield.